Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a very special guest today coming on at 9 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, Barrett Tillman, who is the author of the book Clash of the Carriers, the true story of the Marianas turkey shoot of World War II. The greatest naval battle of all time finally receives the meticulous and comprehensive treatment it deserves. That is what Richard Frank, the author of Guadalcanal and Downfall, says about Barrett Tillman's Clash of the Carriers. This is something that is going to be a lot of fun, I think, to discuss as we get into the 63rd anniversary, beginning today, of the Marianas Battle in World War II. Barrett Tillman was on the show on February 28th to discuss his new book about General Curtis LeMay, which is a part of the Great General series issued by Palgrave Macmillan. And I can tell you from when Barrett was on the 28th of February talking about the new book, LeMay, that he is quite a radio guest and an incredible historian. I'll say more about his personal biography, of course, when he comes on in a couple of hours. But this book on the Marianas is quite something. I have my own personal copy of it, and it really is something. On the back cover of this book, which is a production of NAL Caliber, it says that in June of 1944, American and Japanese carrier fleets steamed toward each other, seeking battle in the Philippine Sea. Their clashing objectives, retaining the vital Marianas for Japan versus seizing the islands for American air bases. When the fleets met, they embarked upon a naval engagement that escalated into the most spectacular aircraft carrier battle in history, a battle that would later become known as the Great Marianas Turkey Shoot. During 2 days of brutal combat, the American and Japanese carriers dueled, launching wave after wave of fighters and bombers against one another in an all-out fight for supremacy. By day and night, hundreds of planes filled the skies. When it was over, the pilots of the American Fifth Fleet had claimed more than 400 aerial combat victories, and three Japanese carriers lay on the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Here is the great account of those great and terrible days, told from both sides by those who were there in the thick of the fight, drawing upon numerous interviews with American and Japanese veterans as well as official sources. Clash of the Carriers is an unforgettable testimonial to the bravery of those who fought and those who died in a battle that will never be forgotten. And this is really quite a book. Again, Barrett Tillman is the author of Clash of the Carriers. We'll be with him in a couple of hours from now to get into all of the implications of what happened beginning 63 years ago today. Got a number of other things to talk about. I have a new article that's going to come out in modified form with the American Free Press. They're going to press with it, I guess, today. I say modified form because the article is a little too lengthy for their normal format, but the online version is now making its way through a series of very significant sites on the net. I'm going to be talking about it after this first break here, but the title of it is The Alliance of Giuliani and the Christian Right. Has the War on Terror Merged with the War on the Unborn? That's going to be my topic for the first part of the show after the first commercial break. The article has now been picked up not simply by the American Free Press, but by Al Bawaba in Amman, Jordan. AlJazeera.info, Dr. Hassan El Najjar's site, is back online again. It has an additional name or URL that I wanted to mention at some point in the show, but Al Jazeera picked it up today, June 14th. Matthias Chang has posted it in Malaysia. Don Wassel has been very nice to put it up on the American Nationalist Union site. And who knows where it goes from there, but suffice it to say that it's getting very, very good distribution on the World Wide Web, which is a good thing because this article has links in it to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and one trusts that as it appears in Malaysia, as it appears at the American Nationalist Union site, as AlJazeera.info posts it, as it makes its way to Amman, Jordan, and the site of Al-Bawaba, the Middle East gateway, that lots of folks are going to see this, and they're going to see the links to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and that's a good thing, because this is how we proliferate in terms of our influence on the web. And through the web, we eventually begin to increase our already significant presence on international shortwave radio and with conventional radio affiliates. This is how the game is played. And this is what we have to do to get around corporate media. I was talking with my tech this morning here at RBN. He was telling me about something that I won't go into on the air at this particular point, but it represents an incredible victory for the Republic Broadcasting Network and for alternative media in general in regard to some things that reached 20 million listeners in recent times, involving tax issues and governmental issues. This is an end run around corporate media that on those occasions where it happens, it gives us some really, really encouraging feelings in regard to the fact that maybe we're making an impact after all. You know, there are these times when you think that despite your best efforts, either in written journalism or in electronic media, that when you're working for non-conventional outlets, that maybe not enough people are listening, maybe there's not enough resource available out there to facilitate your keeping going, maybe there's not enough interest anymore, maybe the public is simply too passive, maybe they're so wrapped up in NBA basketball and American baseball starting now, heading into the summer, that they're just not interested in the things that are going on in the world. But every once in a while, then things turn around, and you see that people do care. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll get back to my new article for AFP when we return. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information.
Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Podcast Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Barrett Tillman, author of Clash of the Carriers, the true story of the Marianas turkey shoot of World War II, will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to discuss that volume. What is the significance of the battle for the Marianas in World War II? We'll chat about that with him and then get into some of the specifics of the battle itself, which his book covers in just incredible detail. It's 348 pages long. And this is just an incredible piece of history. For those of you who are a part of it or who know someone who was or just have an interest in some of the more fascinating aspects of the Second World War, this is the book for you. It's again entitled Clash of the Carriers by Barrett Tillman. We'll get into the specifics of it with him in approximately 2 hours from now. I was going to say that I would like to extend my condolences to the family of Richard Thompson, who was a USS Liberty survivor person who lost his life traveling from Washington, D.C. back to Florida this past weekend in a one-car accident in South Carolina. He was a source for a lot of the things that continue to be uncovered in regard to what was behind Israel's attack on the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. The circumstances surrounding that accident are still being uncovered, but I simply want to extend my condolences not simply to the family and loved ones of Richard Thompson and those who knew him best with the USS Liberty Survivors Association, but also to express regret that in his passing from this life, we may not get at the bottom of some very important components of what did happen 40 years ago. This is all a very tragic situation, and from time to time you have to report things that are sad. I first learned of this through a caller who called this show yesterday who heard some of the basics of what transpired on Michael Collins Piper's show night before last. So I'm a newcomer to this information, and I'm not here really to analyze it or to discuss it in any great length this morning except to express my condolences to those whose lives continue to be affected in a most painful way by the events of 40 years ago when Israel attacked the USS Liberty. The tragic passing of Richard Thompson this past weekend is certainly something that needs to be brought to the fore with special reference to family members and friends and those who grieve and who mourn for him this week. Back to other things related to media. You know, I have a post, which I have just mentioned, which is being printed today by the American Free Press, even as we chat. And that post is now available to you online in a number of places, including my blog at Al Bawaba in Amman, Jordan. Matthias Chang has picked it up in Malaysia. Don Wassel of the American Nationalist Union is running it this morning. Also, aljazeera.info. is going to a publication with it today. It is entitled The Alliance of Giuliani and the Christian Right. Has the War on Terror Merged with War on the Unborn? At one level, this is a commentary about a commentary. You will recall that Dr. Paul Gottfried of Elizabethtown College in Pennsylvania has published something for Buchanan's American Conservative entitled Giuliani-Driven Christians. We looked at some of that yesterday. This piece that I have published talks about Dr. Gottfried's article and then gives you what is essentially my own spin on the ultimate meaning of what Dr. Gottfried talks about in regard to this very curious phenomenon. How can it be that according to these polls, establishment polls that have come out in recent times, there is so much support within the Protestant evangelical community for Rudolph Giuliani? His personal life, of course, should be an issue for those folks. His advocacy of abortion on demand and gay rights should be an issue for those folks. He's an advocate of gun control. That's another thing that needs to be examined very closely by those people who claim to be conservatives and yet support this guy. He is at the same time a globalist. This is a point that Jerome Corsi has made in his writings at WorldNet Daily and also at Human Events. Corsi has done an outstanding job, by the way, of chronicling Mr. Giuliani's personal financial links to globalism. It is his law firm, by the way, Giuliani's law firm, that is representing both the Spanish as well as Australian companies that want to make money off this Trans-Texas project, the so-called North American Union NAFTA superhighway. These foreign companies want to charge you tolls to drive on your own roads. And this is something that, of course, is already going on up in Indiana, where I understand that these companies are involved in charging people money to drive on I-69 up there. This is also an issue with the Chicago Skyway. Now it's going to be a real problem when it comes to the Trans-Texas project. And what Corsi has done is to show that Giuliani and his law firm are making millions of dollars off of these foreign companies, who in turn are planning on making zillions of dollars off of you when these globalist highway projects come to full fruition. This is the kind of a guy that we're talking about here, folks. Abortion, gay rights, gun control, world government, the whole nine yards. Plus the fact he has an incredible alliance going on with Israel and with the Israeli lobby that is abundantly clear. General Wesley Clark let the cat out of the bag on that some weeks ago when he made an inadvertent slip by talking about things that establishment political figures are never supposed to talk about in this country. At one point, Wes Clark said that Giuliani and McCain were in competition with one another to see which of them would get more of the Jewish New York money men bankrolling for their individual presidential efforts. And Wes Clark said this in relationship to the fact that he believed that these New York Jewish money men were the driving force behind this attempt to start a war with Iran. And he referenced this to both Giuliani and to McCain. Well, of course, there was a big hullabaloo that existed for about 24 hours, and then you heard nothing more about any of this for very clear reasons. The more discussion there would have been in public about what Wes Clark said, the more examination the average member of the public would have had in regard to Giuliani, McCain, this whole issue of the Israeli lobby, and what Wes Clark has described as the New York Jewish money that is trying to get Iran involved in a war with the United States. That's very, very significant stuff, and of course it suggests that there is an incredible series of connections that surround Rudolph Giuliani, the likes of which we're still trying to uncover. But this is what I had to say about him and his so-called alliance with the Christian right, that portion of it that seems to be enamored of him even as we speak. Again, the title of the article is "The Alliance of Giuliani and the Christian Right. Has the War on Terror Merged with War on the Unborn?" This is what I have to say about it. This is what the American Free Press is going to be printing as of today. My good friend, Dr. Paul Gottfried of Elizabethtown College in Pennsylvania, goes a long way toward explaining the real agenda of the American Christian right in his latest effort for the American conservative, entitled The Giuliani-Driven Christians. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Barrett Tillman of Clash of the Carriers will join us to discuss the Marianas campaign at 9 a.m. Central. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Barrett Tillman will join us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to discuss Clash of the Carriers, the true story of the Marianas turkey shoot of World War II. This is considered to be the leading historical account ever written of what proved to be the most significant aircraft carrier battle in history. We'll say more about that when he comes on at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. You know, it's a curious thing. I had a class last night in San Antonio that I was teaching at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 130 Saipan, which is interesting because the name Saipan may mean something to many of you who know something about the history of the battle for the Marianas in World War II. The United States Marine Corps invaded Saipan and did so on June 14th, 1944, I believe. But at any rate, last night at 1:30 Saipan on the south side of San Antonio, we discussed at Emmanuel Lutheran Church all kinds of things, in a two-hour session dealing with the book of Daniel. And you know what's interesting? It got into all kinds of derivative things that I did not anticipate that we would be talking about in this class last night. Now, there were just seven or eight people there, but it was really fun. And I say this because if you've ever been in a room with six or seven really intelligent, committed, interesting people who want to talk about things that really matter, that's what we had last night at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in San Antonio. And we started out in speaking of the book of Daniel. I was trying initially to cover certain occultic practices that are mentioned in the Old Testament that were involved in ancient Egypt, ancient Assyria, and ancient Babylon. And one of the things that I mentioned specifically is the account in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 21, of King Nebuchadnezzar, who utilized a very ancient occultic practice known as belomancy. What is belomancy? It is divination by the use of arrows. Divination by the use of arrows. In the ancient world, it was an occultic practice to try and make certain decisions based upon which arrow could be fired farther than another. Another way of doing it was to choose arrows, almost like choosing straws, where let's say, for example, that you have a decision to make, as Nebuchadnezzar did in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 21, where the Bible tells us there exactly how it was that he decided that he would attack Jerusalem as opposed to Rabbah of the Ammonites, which is a reference to the modern city of Amman, Jordan, by the way. Nebuchadnezzar chose arrows, and he happened with his right hand to select the arrow that indicated that he should attack Jerusalem, which is exactly what he did in the 6th century B.C., At any rate, Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 21, is the only place known in the Old Testament where there is specific reference made to this ancient occultic practice of trying to divine the future through the use of an arrow or arrows. Now, as I mention this, somehow, some way, starting off with this as the beginning of the lecture and the conversation, we ended up getting into a much wider discussion of things that I did not think we would initially get into last night. I thought that maybe sometime farther downstream we'll really cover some of the central tenets of Christian Zionism and talk about what it is and what its advocates believe about the modern state of Israel. But this ended up happening last night, and we got into all kinds of conversations about covenants and the kingdom of God and the nature of the plot that took the life of Jesus Christ. We talked about the destruction of the Jewish temple in 586 BC. We ended up talking about the Roman destruction of the Jewish temple in AD 70, something that Jesus Christ specifically prophesied in the New Testament and said would take place for some very specific reasons. Related to national judgment. We got into certain things that happened in modern times in the creation of the modern state of Israel in 1947 and 1948. We ended up talking about things like the USS Liberty tragedy and the Levant affair in the 1950s in Egypt, and all kinds of things related to this burgeoning situation with Israel and with the United States and the present set of political and military quandaries in the Middle East. But this began initially with a look at the first three chapters of the book of Daniel and some discussion of the context of that book as it relates to Babylonian-occupied Persia in the 6th century B.C. and the circumstances that led Daniel and Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael to initially be there in this area that the Bible describes as Babylonian-occupied Persia. But then it led into all kinds of derivative issues. Just a real good time last night. Talked about things that most pastors don't get a chance to discuss with people, or won't discuss with them. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And then we'll re-engage with my article on Giuliani and the Christian right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Military historian Barrett Tillman will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to discuss his book, Clash of the Carriers, the true story of the Marianas turkey shoot of World War II. This is the greatest aircraft carrier battle in history that he's going to be speaking about this morning. And when you look at the history of this whole thing, which goes back to a period of time exactly 63 years ago, I think you'll profit by this discussion that I'll have with Barrett Tillman at 9 o'clock in the morning. Whatever one thinks of World War II and all of the things that surrounded it, this business of the Marianas is well worth your time in regard to getting into one of the most fascinating, pivotal developments in all of world history, both in the way that the Second World War ended up, as well as the way that this clash ended, at least at that time, in the struggle between the Japanese Empire and the American for control of the Pacific. Back then, this whole business of the alliance of Giuliani and the Christian right has the war on terror merged with war on the unborn? This is what I've written for the American Free Press. You can now find it at aljazeera.info, Al Bawaba, the Middle East Gateway in Amman, Jordan. Matthias Chang has posted it with his Perdana Peace blog in Malaysia. Don Wassel has taken it up with the American Nationalist Union at anu.org. It's making its rounds on the Internet, which is good news because of the links that are in this article to the Republic Broadcasting Network, among other things. But as I was saying in this space, there's something going on in this country, folks, involving these Protestant evangelicals. Now, I am an Orthodox Christian. Most of you know that who listen to this show. So I'm definitely not a liberal. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ as the payment to God for my sin that has provided for my justification before God. I have the righteousness of God only because I have Jesus Christ. That's Orthodox Christianity. I believe in the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the historicity of the virgin birth, and all of those things that accompany an Orthodox, theistic, Trinitarian, Christological view of things. So I'm not a liberal. I'm not an anti-theist. I'm not anti-Christian. I am an Orthodox Lutheran Christian. That's my background. The only reason I mention that is that when I offer the critique that I do of the so-called Protestant evangelical movement, I'm talking about the worst aspects of it. There are some very fine people who count themselves as Protestant evangelicals who are not guilty of the kind of thing that Paul Gottfried is talking about in his article for Pat Buchanan today, and they're not guilty of the kinds of things that I talk about based upon my own analysis of what Gottfried has said. But to the extent that mainstream Protestant evangelicalism is moving more and more into support of people like Rudolph Giuliani and John McCain, there's something really sick, very bizarre, and very illogical going on here that is very flawed theologically in regard to what Protestant evangelicalism claims to stand for. It's a phenomenon that bears closer examination and closer study, in my view. And who and what is behind all of this, I think you'll see more clearly as you read Dr. Gottfried's article for Buchanan entitled The Giuliani-Driven Christians, and as you take a look at what I've said on this for the American Free Press, again, in this post entitled The Alliance of Giuliani and the Christian Right Has the War on Terror Merged with War on the Unborn. And I again will say that getting back into this, it is Paul Gottfried who notes that Quinnipiac polls indicate that Rudolph Giuliani's present status as the most popular presidential candidate among Protestant evangelicals this is a part of the mix, and that his honor's present lead in the polls in key swing states, especially Florida, is directly attributable to, quote, white evangelical voters, unquote. The Washington Post has chimed in, reporting in February that Giuliani is, quote, surging among white evangelicals, unquote. And as I say for the American Free Press, the implications of this burgeoning phenomenon are as striking as they are demonically draconian. His honor, after all, speaking of Mr. Giuliani, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, is a leading advocate of abortion on demand. Even as he chides Islamic societies and Fox News-sponsored presidential debates for attitudes and policies allegedly detrimental to the rights and dignity of women. And aside from the Big Apple mayor's publicized liabilities in personal life and conduct, it seems incredible to the point of the outrageously satirical to contemplate Giuliani's adulation by the likes of religious right mogul Cal Thomas, given his honor's strident support of the militant homosexual rights constituency. That support, symbolically expressed by Rudy's past personal appearance in costume drag in New York for a gay pride parade, suggests that all things are now possible in the increasingly comfortable alliance of the quote-unquote Christian right with the globalist Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party. What's next? a Giuliani campaign appearance at a national prayer breakfast in Babylon by the Potomac with Pat Robertson, John Hagee, Billy Graham, Al Goldstein, and Barney Frank. In the case of abortion, Republican hypocrisy is nothing new. It was, after all, Dutch Reagan who appointed pro-choice Sandra Day O'Connor to the Supreme Court after making the pro-life position a staple of the Republican campaign diet in 1980. It was George Herbert Walker Bush who brought David Souter into America's judicial mix during the former's one term of office. And neither Republican chief executive nor a series of Republican Congresses after 1994 ended federal tax subsidies for Planned Parenthood and the American abortion industry. And what has escaped public notice and media scrutiny in more recent times is the hard reality that the April 18, 2007 Supreme Court decision in Gonzalez versus Carhart, which upheld the congressional ban on partial birth abortion, will not, in and of itself, prevent one late-term partial birth abortion. As explained by Paul Loukitis in the April 26th edition of The Wanderer, the decision actually upholds the infamous 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, as did the bill itself passed by Congress. Gonzalez only says that the federal government and the states may pass legislation declaring restrictions on this particular technique, that such restrictions are not unconstitutional. Loukitis goes on to explain that according to Justice Anthony Kennedy, abortions of late-term babies can continue up to the moment of birth, even utilizing the partial birth technique as long as the child is killed in utero. The Congressional Act's definition of a partial birth abortion requires the fetus, quote, to be delivered until in the case of a head-first presentation, the entire fetal head is outside the body of the mother, or in the case of breech presentation, any part of the fetal trunk past the navel is outside the body of the mother. The Attorney General, Gonzalez, concedes, and we agree, says Anthony Kennedy, that if an abortion procedure does not involve the delivery of a living fetus to one of these anatomical landmarks, where, depending on the presentation, either the fetal head or the fetal trunk past the navel is outside the body of the mother, the prohibitions of the act do not apply, unquote. Put another way, I say, fetal poisoning and dismemberment are fine, as long as they take place within the confines of the womb itself. Placed in this judicial and cultural context, the quote-unquote Christian Republican right has achieved virtually nothing in the wake of 34 years of post-Roe political activism. The much-vaunted cultural war may in fact be over. The left has won. A post-Christian America is now the order of the day. And if this is the final verdict of history, it should not escape attention that a Rudy Giuliani presidential candidacy, the geometric location for the latest intersection of the alliance of the American Christian right with the much-heralded Jewish and Israeli lobby in the United States, epitomizes the victory of the latter in America's cultural wars if the issue of the sanctity of unborn life in the land is the definitive yardstick for measuring the conflict's ultimate outcome. Alexandria J. Wall, staff writer for Jay, the Jewish Newsweekly of Northern California, and Matthew E. Berger of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency chronicle mainstream American Jewish support for the pro-choice position in an April 30, 2004 article for Jay entitled "Locals Join Thousands at D.C. Pro-Choice Rally." Major representatives of key Jewish activist organizations were front and center at the event. Hadassah, the National Council of Jewish Women, and representatives of Reform, Conservative, and Reconstructionist Judaism stood proudly in the glare of media coverage. This 2004 rally stands as a microcosm of the larger truth before and since that time. Jewish media, political, logistical, and financial support for the abortion industry is the lifeblood of the movement of mass death for the preborn. No serious research on the subject can deny the patently obvious. This is truly a holocaust most of American Jewry can truly unite behind. So how do evangelical quote-unquote Protestants justify a larger political alliance with Giuliani, the Jewish power elite, and the system of the beast his honor clearly represents, Dr. Paul Gottfried unveils the tale of the tape. Quote, "It must be stressed that the issue that has come to trump all other evangelical concerns is fighting the war on terror. Cal Thomas has extolled his fellow evangelicals to recognize the big picture. Quote, character is seen as less important than who can face the multiple challenges facing the nation, unquote. Specifically, the struggle against international terror. From the evangelical perspective, this confrontation with terror is so intertwined with other issues that it serves as a kind of shorthand. Israel, Zionism, and the glorification of American democracy as a world model are all at least implicit in the evangelical conception of the struggle against terror, one that Giuliani is imagined to be able to lead better than any other presidential contender. During a visit to New York by a Saudi Arabian prince soon after 9/11, Giuliani took the occasion to speak out against the visitor's attempt to link the lack of goodwill for the U.S. among Arabs to American indifference to the Palestinian cause. His tirade was directed against those who suggest moral equivalency between liberal democracies like Israel and the United States, quote-unquote, and their current enemies. This broadside has continued to come up on evangelical website pushing Giuliani's candidacy. Another related factor here, according to Paul Gottfried, which the New York Times underscored in an April 30th feature story, is that evangelicals have moved away from divisive issues like abortion to stress an apparently less controversial human rights agenda. The movement's leaders have worked overtime to sway the White House to pursue democratization worldwide, and publications like Christian Century have moved away from the moral majority kind of politics characteristic of evangelicals in the past to affirming the need for exporting American political practices. Significantly, the letter of support for democracy that was sent to President Bush on February the 25th, 2003, calling for regime change in Iraq, was signed by World Evangelical Alliance dignitaries as well as prominent neoconservatives. This exhortation was fully consistent with the stated political views of the National Alliance of Evangelicals and the World Alliance of Evangelicals. Despite the erosion of support among evangelicals for the Iraq War from its one-time high of almost 80%, it is, according to polls, still well over 50%, unquote. I then continue. Is this really the state of institutional evangelicalism in America? If the burgeoning evangelical Protestant support for the presidential candidacy of Rudolph Giuliani reported by Quinnia Pack and the Washington Post is factual, the derivative implications are beyond calculation. One can only conclude that the quote-unquote Christian right has become a driving force in what real Christianity and constitutionally minded Americans have correctly concluded is clinically evil. This overt evidence of the demonic in history has manifested itself in the United States with an incessant vengeance. It includes the drive toward globalization and world government, the destruction of the manufacturing sector of the American economy, the elimination of the working middle class, an unconstitutional war in Iraq that has killed 650,000 civilians, on top of 500,000 deaths of Iraqi children under the age of 5 through economic sanctions, the militant pursuit of cultural degeneracy embodied in the deaths of 45 million preborn since 1973, the placing of an imprimatur on George Bush's suspension of habeas corpus, and the support of Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian land and genocidal methodologies directed at its voiceless victims. This is the antithesis of the New Testament proclamations of Jesus Christ. The quote-unquote Christian right has perverted the meaning of God's covenants, confused the kingdom of God with the secular realms of Domitian and Bush, advocated the utilization of violence against the defenseless, sided with spiritual wickedness in high places vis-a-vis the dispossessed and the disenfranchised, lobbied for a preemptive nuclear strike against thousands of innocent Iranian civilians, and falsely defined the modern Zionist state of Israel as the Israel of God. The result is an evil synthesis of the War on Terror with the War on the Unborn and the Constitution of the United States. The antidote for this cancerous brew is the uniting and common cause against the system of the beast held in place by multinational corporations, Zionism, and the organized international Jewish lobby. The victims of the beast, including the Palestinians, the American working middle class, and the unborn, are natural allies. They must seek their solutions in divinely inspired guidance and intercessory prayer, accompanied by a willingness to sacrifice their own lives for the vulnerable and powerless in their respective lands and communities. And biblically oriented Christians who possess the Holy Spirit of God must jettison 501c3 Christianity, the false prophets of the American religious right, and their veiled financial supporters in central banking and on Wall Street, who bring the world ever closer to apocalyptic disaster. And for first measures, dump Giuliani, along with Bush, McCain, Romney, Clinton, Obama, Edwards, and the other spokespersons for the beast at the Weekly Standard and Fox News. Give Cal Thomas and John Hagee the permanent boot as well. And a second notion comes to mind. It is now time for another Barman Declaration. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live on RBN. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been taking a look this morning at my new piece for the American Free Press entitled The Alliance of Giuliani and the Christian Right Has the War on Terror Merged with War on the Unborn. All kinds of things come to my mind, of course, as I look at my own article this morning, which is at one level a commentary on what Dr. Paul Gottfried of Elizabethtown College up in Pennsylvania has said for Pat Buchanan's American Conservative in Dr. Gottfried's article entitled The Giuliani-Driven Christians. We need to, by the way, to take our hats off to Paul Gottfried. He's a very nice man. We've never met face-to-face, but we've done email back and forth with one another for quite a number of years now. You'll find him at lourockwell.com, among other places. Paul Gottfried is a real gentleman and scholar, and has a lot of really insightful takes on so many things. And I'm grateful to him that he has bequeathed to you and to me such fine analysis of what is really going on with this alliance between Giuliani and Protestant evangelicals. And my take on it is that there's nothing good that can come out of this alliance. I think it's an indication, among other things, that the leading lights of institutional Protestant evangelicalism in America have forgotten Jesus, they've forgotten the New Testament, they've forgotten any sense of what used to be some pretty good discernment on the part of Protestant evangelicals about things secular, things worldly, things that were not of the Lord. And quite clearly, when we look at some of the leading moguls of the so-called Christian right in America, you can't help but come away with the feeling that these folks are front people, certainly for the Israeli government, and front people for multinational corporations. Where is the money coming from that bankrolls some of these key people that we know of as leaders of the Protestant religious right in America? And again, I'm not talking about all of them. There are some very, very fine so-called Protestant evangelicals. I've known many of them for quite a number of years. I'm talking about the front men in this case. Who really are these people? What is the nature of their relationship with these corporations and with the American government and the Israeli government and with the Jewish lobby? When you start uncovering all of that, it seems to me that we are talking about something that is apparently, clearly demonic. We're talking about something that does not involve the kingdom of God as Jesus Christ understood that kingdom. That, by the way, is going to be a topic of conversation tomorrow on the show with John Dominic Crossan. Crossan is a professor at DePaul University. He has a new book out for Harper San Francisco entitled God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. At one level, I'm sure that John Dominic Crossan and I will have some disagreements theologically in regard to the authenticity of the biblical narrative and in regard to certain other things as well, but probably those disagreements won't come up too much tomorrow because we're going to focus more narrowly on this whole business of God and empire and the way in which the political agenda of the Protestant Christian right in America, or its key leaders, I should say, the way in which that agenda is supporting a war for both their version of theocracy and eschatology, as well as for corporate interests that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God and Christ. That would seem to be the thesis of John Dominic Crossan's book, God and Empire, and to the extent that it is, I am in basic agreement with him in regard to the absolute dangers of that. And this, of course, is something that comes up in my own commentary for AFP today. And we'll take this up a little bit more when we come back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
It's true.